The enchanting Advent hymn, Veni, Veni, Emmanuel, draws together seven Old Testament titles to sing with joy of the birth of Jesus Christ. But how can anything in the Old Testament refer to the Lord Jesus, who was born centuries after those texts were written? For an answer, we look to the prophets. The English word prophet comes from the Greek word prophetes, which means one who speaks for another. In the case of Holy Scripture, the prophets of Israel spoke for God. And in the Old Testament, there are 16 prophets with books bearing their names. Four of these men are called major prophets because of the length of their texts. And 12 are called minor prophets simply because their texts are much shorter than the other four. The four major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And the 12 minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, and Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micah, Naaman, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Our first lesson today is from the prophet Micah, who lived at about the same time as the prophets Isaiah, Amos, and Hosea, roughly 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. During Micah's life, the city of Jerusalem had become more wealthy and beautiful than ever before. But that prosperity was based largely on dishonesty and immorality. And so a great deal of Micah's prophecy concerns the coming destruction of Jerusalem because of the sins of the political, economic, and religious elite. Remember that King David unified the 12 tribes and their territories into a single kingdom, which was also ruled by David's son, Solomon. But after Solomon's death, the unified kingdom was split by rebellion into two kingdoms, leaving both parts weakened and subject to invasion. The northern kingdom of Israel included Samaria, Galilee, and the coastal cities of the Mediterranean, along with the southwestern corner of modern Syria, while the southern kingdom of Judah, with its capital at Jerusalem, stretched down to the southern desert and to the Dead Sea, and included the historic homelands of only two of the 12 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. After the separation of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel, the worship of two gods was officially permitted in the northern kingdom: the true worship of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the false worship of Baal, a pagan fertility god. The toleration of this idolatry was constantly condemned by the prophets as infidelity to the covenant with the living God. And so when the northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC, and the Jewish people were scattered and intermingled with Gentiles, leading to the dispersal of the so-called lost 10 tribes, the prophets saw in this defeat the vindication of the true God over idolatry. The prophet Micah was one of those who witnessed these events and concluded that the providence of God was at work. And then in 701 BC, the Assyrians invaded Judah and besieged Jerusalem, but did not stay. Micah continued to denounce the immorality of the elites of Jerusalem and describe the coming devastation of that city, even as he also foresaw that once Judah had first been destroyed and then restored, the new kingdom would lead all Gentiles out of the darkness of idolatry and into the light of divine revelation and true worship. The prophecy of Micah is invoked several times in the New Testament, including in Zechariah's hymn of praise at the birth of John the Baptist, and on the lips of the Lord Jesus, who explains that the truth of the gospel will divide family members against each other, just as the kingdoms of Israel and Judah were divided. But the most important reference to Micah in the New Testament comes in chapter 2 of St. Matthew's Gospel, when the Magi arrive in Jerusalem asking to worship the newborn king of the Jews. King Herod asked the chief priests and scribes to identify the birthplace of the Messiah, and Matthew describes their answer. They told Herod, quoting from Micah, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet." The prophet was Micah, but why Bethlehem? It was fitting that the Messiah should be born in Bethlehem, because David himself was born and then anointed king in Bethlehem, a small town which lies about 6 miles southeast of Jerusalem. Then after David united the 12 tribes into a single kingdom, he moved his capital to Jerusalem and brought the Ark of the Covenant there to concentrate all religious and political authority in the holy city. David's son Solomon then built the first temple to house the Ark and to be the privileged place for the worship of the true God, which it remained even after the division of the kingdom following Solomon's death. All of that occurred more than 900 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. But it is all still connected to the approaching feast of Christ's birth. Despite many intervening calamities, it's all of a piece. Both kingdoms were eventually conquered, and the temple was destroyed, and the ark was lost, and the people were taken captive to Babylon, and the land of promise was traded among the empires of the ancient world until Roman rule was established. But through it all, the words of the prophet were never forgotten, because the word of the Lord endures forever. And so, 2,000 years after the birth of the Messiah, here we are, still reading from the book of the prophet Micah to prepare for the joy of Christmas. "Thus says the Lord, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." This, my friends, is why the 7 titles in the hymn Veni, Veni, Emmanuel speak of the Lord Jesus, titles which are invoked in the week before Christmas, each evening at Vespers, to show that the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of all the types and figures of the Old Covenant. Every word of Holy Scripture, in some way, speaks about the Christ, because the eternal Word of God, who in the fullness of time took flesh of the Virgin Mary and was made man, is also the designer and maker of all things, who planned from before the creation of the universe to come to us and live with us and suffer and die for us and rise to new life among us, so that we could abide with him forever and share his unbounded glory, world without end. This same eternal Word is the one about whom the Scriptures speak in human words, breathed out by God through the authors of each book in the Bible during the long ages of the world, from the call of Abraham to the sojourn in Egypt, from the exodus out of slavery to the giving of the law, from the formation of the kingdom to the exile and return of the children of Israel, and from the preaching of the prophets to the coming of John the Baptist. All of that was a preparation for the incarnation of God the Son. And that is how the prophets were able to speak of the Christ, though they knew him not. That is how the psalmist sang of the Christ, though he saw him not. The written Word of God speaks of the eternal Word of God, who became the incarnate Word of God. And when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the womb of the Virgin Mary, it was because of Mary's trust in the Word of God. Then when Mary arrived pregnant at the home of her kinswoman Elizabeth, to help her with the unexpected gift of John, the infant prophet leapt in his mother's womb, and Elizabeth cried out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Both Elizabeth and John were given the grace to understand, even before the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem, that the Word had become flesh. And so Elizabeth declared to Mary the wisdom that can help all of us abide always in the Word of God through the obedience of faith. "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.